the travel and the bus rides and the salary, so to speak, was something that I've joked that I paid them to call games. That's about what the math worked out to be. I was able to do that for the time that I did, and felt that season coming to a close when I wanted to start to settle down and have a family. And so my wife and I were fortunate enough to move back to Nashville. And so I knew there was one place I wanted to work if I was moving back to Nashville. And that was with Dave at Ramsey Solutions.
Welcome to the Voices of Freedom podcast, where we sit down with the voices behind the scenes at Freedom 95. And now your host, Jeremy Butel.
Thanks for listening. One of the joys of working with the Dave Ramsey Show and Ramsey Solutions is working with people like Hank First. Hank is our point of contact on the radio side with Ramsey Solutions, a former minor league baseball broadcaster. He spent some time in Indiana because of that. He is in Nashville now working at the brand new Ramsey headquarters. We took a trip in December to go see Hank and some of the folks down there. And Hank was good enough to give us a half hour of his time for the podcast. I think it'll be worth your while. Thank you very much for listening. So I primarily know Hank First as our radio rep in Indy. What is your actual title?
Director of Syndication and Distribution for the Dave Ramsey Show, and I guess now Ramsey Network, because it's not just Dave, it's Ken Coleman and the other podcasts in the network. So that's a mouthful.
He's my go-to. He's a friend. You guys have built a culture here that I think when I first became Ramsey conscious, I think it was 300 people that worked here, maybe.
Yeah.
And that was huge growth at the time.
Yep.
We are here in the new facility, over 900 people now. The Christmas party is tomorrow. I was asking you, 900 people at the Christmas party? You said double that. 900 plus one.
Yeah, 900 plus one, and that's not 901.
It's right.
All 900 people bring their plus one, and it's just a testament to the man that Dave is. He mentioned yesterday when he was giving away the big gift that the staff gets every year, that his dream back when he was at his lowest moment, as he was contemplating life in the future, he was, you know, having a conversation with God and said, you know, I would love one day to give away $1 million. And he did that earlier this week to the staff and to a local charity that we partner with as a company, the Tennessee Baptist Children's Home. The company gave away $2,000 to every host family to spend on the kids, and then $1,000 additional to spend on themselves, as well as $1,000 to our cafe staff here at the new Ramsey HQ, and then do the math on the staff as well. Everybody got that to go, you know, have a shopping spree at Green Hills Mall in Nashville, and, you know, tally all that up, it's over $1 million. And, you know, Dave's just kind of all about this time of year and giving back, and, you know, saying the reason for the season is can be cliche in the wrong context, but Dave really gets the reason for the season. But he kind of has that mentality all year.
Sure. I heard him say on the show that day, folks, I gave away $1 million this morning. But it was as humbly as somebody could say that. It was, you guys don't know how much fun that was. And I was listening to the show, and he said, you know, for some of you rich people out there, maybe giving away $1 million in the year, like, okay, great job, Dave. He said, someday I hope to give away $100 million. And it's that kind of thinking that has got us to this point right now, where I look around at this palatial, here we are between Dave's studio and between the elaborate Ken Coleman studio. I mean, this is, the old place was great. It was a great place to come and show off to somebody. But this one, this looks like Dave Ramsey with the messaging on the walls and the culture. But it goes back to those were his roots. His big thinking like that has led us to get to a point like this. I asked you earlier today when you guys moved over here in July, did it feel like you got a new job? What was that like for you?
Well, I've been with the company in April. It will be 6 years. And I'm a Nashville native, which is rare. A lot of people, not only at this company, but in this city, have moved to this town for music or for college or for their work. or for just, you know, wanting to live for the many benefits that Nashville offers. And so being a Nashville native, I actually got to listen to Dave because of my dad.
In the day,
in the 90s, before Dave was syndicated, you know, Dave was on 99.7, and that was the station. And so, you know, when I was kind of changing things around in my career and was able to come back to Nashville, I knew there was only one place I wanted to work. And so, you know, being here has been a crazy wild ride, and it's been so much fun and so much joy, and it's very challenging, and it's just been so exciting. Every day is very exciting. But being here for almost 6 years, 5.5 years, they were talking about this land and this eventual building back when I started.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. It was a vision that they wanted to, you know, have as a company. We were needing it out of logistics because we were running out of space in our current place. But they were talking about it way back then, 5.5 years ago. And so I don't think it's too much of a stretch on the math to think that, you know, we probably could have been in this building 2-3 years ago if Dave would have financed it, or, you know what I mean? A company the size we were, you could make it happen, right? Just, you know, pay it, finance it, get some debt, figure it out from there. But Dave was quoted in the local newspaper when we broke ground on this building in the summer of 2017. We'll build it at the speed of cash. Mm. We have an estimated, you know, probably fall of 2019, and we will build at the speed of cash. And so ever since I've been here, it's been this thing that we've looked forward to. But one thing that the company did that was absolutely amazing is, you know, 6-9 months out, when it was starting to feel real, it was like on our calendars, like, this is the move date. This is when you need to start boxing things up, and here's what your desk is going to look like. They started to reset the expectations of, you know, for people like me, for the new people that, you know, were just kind of like, I can't wait to get in this new building. Everybody was so looking forward to it. They said, you know what? This building is not going to be a magic wand. It's not going to solve the issues that, you know, you have on a day-to-day basis. And I think it was a really cool reminder that the building is just a tool that will help us reach and impact and give hope to more people. It's not this quick fix that will move in and everything is going to be perfect and we won't have to ever work a day again. Yeah. They set that expectation that the building is going to be just another tool in the tool belt.
Having said that, though, how has your life, your day-to-day changed since the move?
The most amazing thing, and we realized this day one, was the ability to, instead of sending an email or picking up the phone and dialing someone's extension, you could physically walk 40 yards, 25 yards, and be at someone's desk. The way we're laid out, we're spread out over 6 stories, but it's pretty easy to get to somebody's desk. You kind of know the layout of where everyone is. In the old building, we were spread out. Myself and the live events team, I mean, we were a 7 to 8 minute walk from one another. Wow. Live events now sits next to the media department. It's now a 7-second walk to their office. I mean, that changes everything. Yeah. The amount of productivity.
Sure.
That used to be an email or a phone call or, hey, let's schedule that meeting 5 days from now. Instead, it's just a quick pop in. Yeah. That was the biggest thing. That was the biggest game changer.
So I'm going to nerd out for a minute.
Okay.
You have radios in your blood, safe to say.
Yes.
What's been your radio journey? I know that you've dabbled in sports and play-by-play.
Yeah. So, I mean, I psychoanalyze myself. I think about this a lot. I think a lot of my radio journey has been to like impress my dad, I think.
Oh, wow.
Because my dad was a Dave listener back in the day.
Yeah.
He was a big sports fan. He listened to sports talk radio. He may have called into some sports talk stations as well. And that was I remember the first time I heard my dad call into the local sports show. It was actually the show that followed Dave on 99.7.
Nice.
George Plaster, Willie Donick.
I knew that show. Yeah.
And so, I mean, hearing my dad call in, and we're big Notre Dame fans. And so he asked them a Notre Dame question. I was 4 or 5 riding in my aunt and uncle's truck and hearing him on the radio. I don't know how we knew, because back then there weren't cell phones. It wasn't like he called and said, hey, I just got through and you need to listen. I think we just happened to be listening
and I heard my dad call.
I mean, yeah. I wasn't even with my parents.
My dad called into a car show one time on the weekend and my brother had his cassette recorder. I mean,
right.
We were willing to wait the whole hour in case he got on.
But, yeah. I remember the exact spot. I mean, the exact place on the road in the section of Nashville that I grew up on when I heard that. That was so cool. So, big sports fan because of my dad, and so I kind of grew up in the ESPN generation. Yeah. It was my dream job to work for ESPN. I'm kind of pleased that it didn't work out the way that it did, because even back when I was in high school and college, the landscape was changing. I first thought I wanted to be a sports writer, and even back then, I'm 32 now, so you know, back in the early 2000s when I was in high school and getting into college, the sports writing landscape, they were kind of the first to start to feel the effects of the shifting media. Sure. And there were, I was sat down and told pretty early on, like, you may want to rethink that. It's not what it's cracked up to be. So I thought, well, you know, maybe I'll do radio broadcasting or some sort of broadcasting. So being from Nashville, it was a really easy decision to attend college at Western Kentucky University, which is just an hour and a half up the road from here. And they've got a great broadcasting program. And so I got a chance to do play-by-play on the student radio station back in school. And the first time I did play-by-play, I fell in love with it.
Yeah.
It was a basketball game, and the Hilltoppers were making a couple tournament runs back then. And there were some great teams and had some future NBA players on those teams. And I just fell in love with it. And I started with the hardest sport. Basketball and hockey are probably the hardest sports to call play-by-play for. But I fell in love with it and did WKU football. Did some WKU baseball as well, and just, again, got really lucky. Bowling Green, Kentucky got a minor league baseball team the year I graduated college.
Okay.
And so I was able to get on with them as an intern and work my way up into the broadcast booth. And so I spent 5 years broadcasting minor league baseball, and I thought I'd made it. I thought it was my dream job, and it was amazing. I went to towns that I never would have gone to. I went to Dayton, Ohio, and Fort Wayne, Indiana. I mean, places that you don't think of when you think of, hey, where do I want to go on a vacation or a trip? And I'm so thankful I got to go to New Britain, Connecticut and Reading, Pennsylvania to see these cities and call games and to see guys like Bryce Harper and Javier Baez and some of these just future stars in Major League Baseball. That was kind of my era of minor league baseball when these guys were coming up as prospects. And so was very fortunate to do that for the time that I did, but the travel and the bus rides and the salary, so to speak, was something that I joke that I paid them to let me call games. That's about what the math worked out to be. So I was able to do that for the time that I did, and felt that season coming to a close when I wanted to start to settle down and have a family. And so my wife and I were fortunate enough to move back to Nashville, and so I knew there was one place I wanted to work if I was moving back to Nashville, and that was with Dave at Ramsey Solutions.
So I was going to ask, you were married during the minor league baseball tenure.
I was.
How was that for her?
It was hard. The married part was crucial because my wife is a nurse, and so she was able to find work in whatever minor league city I was in, and she supported the family, for sure. She still supports the family. But back then, she was putting food on the table back then, for sure. The first job I had in minor league baseball, I got paid $25 a game. That was my salary.
Oh.
And 70 home games a year. I board opped at the radio station that was our flagship station just to kind of, you know, get some stuff done in the meantime. So that was it back then. But you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to listen to Ken Coleman for very long to realize I was doing what I loved. I was in my sweet spot, and so I didn't care.
Yeah.
Obviously, the math helped that I had somebody to help me out with the money, but I didn't care. I was doing what I loved.
Do you find that the position you hold now in this company, of course, a great place to work, but beyond that, you still have your hand in radio, and you're serving people, and you're on the other side of it, but you're still making radio happen. Radio's still magical, I believe.
Yep.
You still scratching that itch?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. I don't really miss being behind the mic. There's maybe a couple days in April every year where it's that first bout of warmer weather, and you know, you've got baseball on, and it's not spring training baseball where you're looking at games in Florida and Arizona. It's actual baseball. And the I always looked at the season as just this amazing blank slate. Yeah. And if you don't like baseball, I understand. There's plenty about society today that is more exciting and can keep your attention longer. But I feel like if you like baseball, you know what I'm talking about. There's just nothing like opening day in that first week of the season with that blank slate in front of you. So that's the only time of the year that I get the itch of getting behind the mic. But then I quickly remember what mid-July felt like. And sure, you're like, I could take a few days off from thinking about baseball, or maybe a few weeks, a few months, because by that point, the grind has just worn you down. But yeah, radio is magical, and I'm such a turned into such a media nerd and an audio nerd about like what the future of this industry holds, and it's so exciting. And I love to be in a place that's on the cutting edge of that, that is willing to try new things. I mean, Dave's had a podcast for almost 15 years. Mm. I mean, and I was a listener back in my minor league baseball days. That's how I stayed, you know, in tune with Dave if I couldn't find him on a local radio station. And so it's just so fascinating, this media landscape. And I love that audio, I think it's always been a big part of people's lives. But I think now more than ever, with as easy as it is to get video and we're in front of screens all day, and when we get off work, we go home and we're in front of more screens, it's cool to see audio kind of carve this niche into people's lives as kind of a way to step back. And whether you're listening to a podcast while you're washing dishes, or you know, if you're on a run and you want to listen to a long audiobook or something, I think audio, people are realizing the power of audio in a different way.
Yeah.
And it's just so cool to see that happen.
Yeah. I think bigger picture, I think I've heard Dave say the phrase is everybody here is on mission. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Whether you're shipping books or whether you're in front of a camera, everybody needs to be on mission. For what you do from day to day, what does that mean for you?
It's getting the message to as many people as possible. And it's pretty easy to figure out for me, because that's our job. We want to reach as many people as possible. And so there's a couple different ways to accomplish that. You do that by making sure that you have quality content that, that people want to hear, which that's that box is checked every day. It's easy. Whether it's Dave, Ken, Hogan, Rachel, Christy, Anthony, it's easy to check that box. So once you've got quality content, you've got to figure out a way to deliver that to people. And so our MO as a company is to just be where the people are and bring the content to them. And so you've got to, in this day and age, you got to be up on the latest trends in the industry, and you've got to, you know a thing or two about delivery and technology. And so combining all that together is really cool to see. So it's easy to figure out what the mission is, because we just got to get the message to people. We're kind of on the front lines, so to speak, our department for the company, because we're casting that wide net, and we want to reach people whether they know nothing about money or whether they have taken FPU five times and maybe didn't realize Dave has a radio show.
Wow.
Or, you know, we want to reach people that might not know Christ.
Yeah.
Maybe they do, but we just still want to give them this mission of hope. The mission statement of the company is to provide hope to everyone in every walk of life. And so what better way to do that than, you know, delivering what we do best as a company as far as media is concerned, and that's deliver them audio, radio, podcast, streaming, all of it.
And it looks so much different now than it did 10, 12, 15 years ago. It's bigger, there are more. But then for our listeners, noon to three, it's the meat and the potatoes of the Dave Ramsey Show.
Yep.
It's the same. And for me, that's like, there's nobody better at thinking big and evolving than Dave. But then when it comes time to turn Dave on the radio, that's the trusty old show. That's your friend on the radio. That hasn't changed. It's probably improved a little bit over the years.
Absolutely.
But now I look at Dave's attempt to make the message bigger than himself. Something I notice is taking the logo and making it a little bit less Dave Ramsey and more of a brand, changing it to Ramsey Solutions. But then, of course, with the personalities, I talked to Ken a little bit about this earlier. That's been brilliantly done. I didn't think it could be done. I didn't think, from where I sit, these are things I think about. When Sean Hannity goes away, Sean Hannity goes away. When Mark Levin goes away, Levin's done. When Dave Ramsey goes away, the message lives on. And I heard him talking about this over the summer, where he said it wasn't long after we started talking about making Dave less important around here. The Dave started getting less important around here. His sense of humor and his humility are coming through that. But there's so much truth there. I was talking to Ken. You can turn on Dave's show, and it might be Rachel and Chris, and it's the Dave Ramsey show, and it's there's no doubt about that. And he's done that so expertly. You've seen that process from a front row seat. What's it been like for you?
It's been exciting. I mean, things have changed over the last 10, 15 years. Things have changed in the 5.5 years that I've been here as far as how people prefer to get audio. But radio is still there. It's still our initial distribution point. Dave's the CEO of the company that employs almost 1,000 people, and he's in meetings all day. And at 12:30, he shuts things down. He has a little bit of quiet time before he gets on the air. And then he's got 3 hours of radio. And then after that, he's back on for a little while before he shuts it down for the day. So, you know, he's got the servant's heart. And you mentioned the same thing every day. That's a compliment to us, because what we feel we provide is just common sense. Common sense about life and how it happens to revolve around money.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize that the world could use a little bit more common sense. You know, you look at anything from politics to sports to society to culture, technology. Common sense is greatly needed in this day and age, and so we're glad to be the ones to provide that. But it's not just a drive-by. It's not just a one-off or go home and go to this website and look it up. Common sense truly gets baked in. When you can start answering for Dave, that's when you've got it. When you go, I wouldn't go there, caller. I wouldn't go there. I know what he's going to say. That's when you've got it. And so it's been really cool to see the evolution to the personalities because of just how professional they are. They all have their niche. They all, you know, speak to different people. And the way the brands work together has been really, really cool, because the neat thing for us as a company has been to see people that maybe they're Entree fans or Ken Coleman fans or Christie. They become aware of them first and then go, oh yeah, I guess I maybe better check out this Dave Ramsey guy. That's really cool to see. And we see that happen lately. Or not lately. We've seen that happen, but it's been increasing lately. And that's always fun to see them aware of that. As to how, I think, you know, again, Dave is a brilliant businessman, of course, but it's intentionality. He's been talking about the succession plan of this place for a decade, and maybe longer. Yeah. And you kind of alluded to it. This isn't a surprise. Yeah. Dave wants to retire someday. He's not going to live forever. And this place is going to exist beyond both of those things happening. And so how are we going to do it? Are we going to do it meekly?
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not really the culture of this place. We're going to do it boldly. And that's what we do, you know, day in and day out.
I think I heard him say on whenever the mall outing was, is that was a celebration of 3 million people served this year. I'm not exactly sure how that's measured, but for you, how gratifying is that to work at a place that can touch that many people in a given year? Debt-free scream.
Debt-free scream just happened. Good timing there. Good timing on the question. So it's extremely gratifying. Those 3 million people are not people that we don't interact with or people that we don't get to measure, so to speak. I mean, these are 3 million people that we've had a transaction with. It's more people that we talk to, more people that we can connect with. You know, we can't really count our radio or our podcast or our media footprint in that, because it's a much bigger number, because we're kind of constantly talking to a lot of people. And we've got really good distribution, but it's 3 million people that we have transacted with this year. So they've bought a live event ticket. They bought a book. Yeah. You know, they've signed up for Financial Peace University. And it was a lofty goal, but a really, really good goal is one that's communicated well. And it was beginning last October of 2018. It was like we did 2.2 million this year, or we're about to do 2.2 million. And our goal next year is 3 million. Wow. And on January 2nd, or whenever the first day everybody was back in the office earlier this year in 2019, there were TVs on the wall mounted with the amount of people, amount of live surf. So we've been tracking it since January. Okay. And so every once in a while, you know, you'd see a good month and you'd do the math and go, okay, we're in good shape. You'd see a month where, you know, there was an expected downturn or maybe not an expected downturn. And you do the math and go, all right, we got to pick it up. So a good goal is one that is communicated well, and it's been communicated very well. So very, very humbling to start to see that come to fruition. But, you know, it was one that was communicated, and I think that I'm curious to see what the goal is going to be next year, because it worked this year. So maybe we'll have to stretch to four.
Yeah, nice. One more. So you and I communicate directly in our given positions. What makes a good Dave Ramsey radio affiliate?
We refer to it as, do they get it?
Yeah.
And what that means is, are they aware of the content? Do they care? Are they generally cordial, professional, nice, whatever you want to call it? Do they combine the mission of their station with the mission of our show and understand that there's two powers that be here that don't always want the same thing, but generally, if we're going to be in business together for a long period of time, we ultimately want the same thing, and that's success for one another. So do they get it? That's typically the first thing that we ask. And the cool thing about it is you know it pretty much right away.
Yeah.
You know it pretty much right away. And so we're very, very glad to have plenty of affiliates that get it. I think that speaks to the longevity of our show being in its 27th year on the air. It's been syndicated not that entire time, but over two decades of that time. We had an affiliate from Princeton, Indiana, that stopped by. Very similar situation to yourself. Happened to be in town and wanted to check out the new studios. This was literally yesterday.
Okay.
I knew that it was an affiliate that had been carrying our show for a long time. And I looked it up before I walked downstairs.
Yeah.
It was February of 1999. No. And so when Steve Langford in our lobby said, you know, I've carried you guys a long time. I said, I know, 1999. He said, you know what? Not only do I carry you in middays, Monday through Friday, I also carry you guys on Saturdays and Sundays as well. You have been on 7 days a week on my station since February of 1999. And I was in awe. Because this guy, think about the amount of people that heard our message for the first time, for the 50th time on his station for two decades, 20 years. It's coming up on 21 years here in a couple months. And so that is just another example. I know we've been on the air with you guys a really long time and love the relationship. So it's fun to be in business with people you like. That's really what makes coming to work fun, what makes the job not as taxing and easy at times, you know, when you can pick up the phone and we may have something we need to talk about, but before we talk about what we need to talk about, we're probably going to talk what's going on with the Cubs right away, because we both happen to be fans of the team on the north side of Chicago.
First things first,
we talk about them. If depending on what time of the year, we may mix in a little hockey as well. I'm a Preds fan, you're a Hawks fan. I don't think either of the teams are going to make the playoffs this year the way it's going. And then we'll talk business. And I think that's what's fun. We've developed friendships along the way with a lot of our top affiliates. And what more could you ask for?
Well, I'll leave you with this. Speaking of important things, do you extend Javi or do you extend KB?
Man, I wish that was an easy answer because I think you got to go with Javi over the two, although I'd love both to be there. The non-Scott Boras factor that Javi brings to the table may have led me to make my decision. There's something magical about him.
Yeah.
I noticed it when I was calling Bowling Green Hot Rods games against the Peoria Chiefs back in 2012.
That's where I was born, by the way.
Awesome. Dozer Park.
Peoria, yeah.
I noticed it back then. I noticed it. Now, I you know, show my son games. My son's 6.5, and he's a big Cubs fan, obviously. Didn't really have much of a choice.
Sure.
There's just something magical about Javi. I'd like if both players were a little less free-swinging, but that happens. That's, you know, it's kind of an all or nothing approach, and the team has functioned at its best. Obviously, with guys like Zobrist in his prime and Dexter Fowler at the top of the lineup, you got to mix in some contact guys with some of the free swingers. But I hope that they can make sure that guys like KB, Javi, Rizzo are with the team for a long time, and I trust the powers that be.
You clearly haven't lost your sports talk fastball. So.
Thank you.
Thanks for addressing that.
Thank you.
Hey, it means a lot. I am thrilled to come down and see the new place. You've treated us very well. I appreciate it.
Of course. Much. Absolutely.
Thanks, Hank.
Thanks, JB.
You've been listening to the Voices of Freedom podcast on Freedom 95. For an audio archive, visit the podcast tab at freedom95.us.